What is happening? We're going to need you to go ahead and come in on Thursday to fourth hour of the show. Jay Martin, Ramon, 4-5 The Zone, along with 11-year NFL veteran and ball for life, Ramon Foster, on Twitter at Ramon Foster, along with producer extraordinaire. That's really not even fair. Third host of the show, Jonathan Schaefer at Schaefer on Sports. I'm Jason Martin. I'm at J Mart Radio. We're at J Mart and Ramon. The question is, favorite action movie when you go mindless? We're still getting a lot. Now people are reacting to me saying that Abby hasn't seen National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah.
People saying Vegas Vacation is underrated. I do agree it's better than people give it credit for. I'm not a big European Vacation fan. John Monkey says, yeah, I enjoyed Vegas more than European for sure. Bit below Christmas in the first. I think the first and Christmas, in whatever order you want to put them in, are the two best. I'd say Christmas is the best, but I do love the original. Tan Man United's on Twitch, watching 104.5 Zone TV, saying, how long have you guys been streaming on Twitch? Absolutely brilliant idea. Well, it hasn't been very long, so you haven't missed much. We've only been doing it for a couple of weeks now, but it seems like a lot of you enjoy that, so we enjoy it as well. It gives us another place to interact with you. I know Moan's been on YouTube this morning. Slay's been on YouTube, Twitch, and everywhere else. Probably shirtless.
I'm double dipping right now. I'm on both of them. Okay, I'm on YouTube and Twitch right now.
I'm on Twitch right now.
We gotta mix this thing up a little bit over here, Jay. You feel me?
Yeah. So let's talk about Rashad Weaver real fast. The Rashad Weaver situation. We don't know what's going to happen there. We don't know what's true. We don't know what's false.
Mm-mm.
It looks bad. The quote is the worst part of it. Heard Buck say that yesterday. Totally agree.
Yeah.
If the quote is legit, I have no idea, but if the quote is legit, that's the kind of thing where you almost have to move away.
Real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
My thing with the quote is that sometimes you'll say something because you know you're not going to do it or you're ever going to think about doing it. If I'm ballsy enough to say something like this to a cop, it's because, truth be told, I'm probably not going to do this type of stuff in front of a cop. And considering this guy's background of not having any character issues, because we know about it by now, I think it may have been one of his, let's be honest, maybe a drunken moment of just being riled up by being, let's say if he was innocent. Like, I'm not going to do something and then admit to doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I take. I'm just trying to protect the player because, like, me being a former player, I know what those situations are like because I've been a player rep to where I've had to deal with guys like that.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but in what capacity is it a decision that you would make to say, yeah, I have no problem hitting a woman if she deserves it?
Absolutely not. There's that in itself is not okay. What I'm telling you is this. If somebody say that they're going to do something and they know right doggone well they'll never do it, like, if you need me to do something, I'll do it. Like, that's what I'm thinking his mind frame is in a situation like that. I don't think he would. It's just dumb to say it in front of a cop. Like, that's almost too dumb to say something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at with it. Like, he's probably smart enough to know that that's too dumb to actually do. And I'm in advocating that
stupid.
That is okay. It's insanely stupid.
But why would you say it to a cop or your mother or your father or your best friend? Again, like, there's nothing good that comes from that.
There's nothing good that comes from it, but I'm thinking that he's at least smart enough to know that that's dumb to even attempt.
Yeah, but he was dumb enough to say.
That's what I'm saying. If he said that out loud, there's no defense of it.
If I'm protecting the player, which I'm trying to do at this point, I'm thinking that it's too dumb to actually go through with something like that.
So he's like exaggerating?
Exaggerating.
Yeah, no.
Wrong thing to exaggerate about, 100%. But that's just, this is a crazy situation.
I get what you're saying,
though. You get what
I know what you're trying to say, but I don't know that you're getting there.
Yeah. Nah.
I know what you're trying to do, and I understand
that. I'm not an advocate of that. What so
right, and I know that much.
Yes,
I'm just saying there's some places where you exaggerate, where you can't exaggerate.
Because I'm trying to feed on the fact that, look, is it innocent before guilty?
Are you saying that because he said it out of a point of rage, that he was so rageful that he said it that it doesn't mean anything?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. While that could be valid, he still said it.
He still said, and that's what I'm getting at. Also, it was dumb.
Yeah,
100%.
So he may have said it out of rage, because we all say things out of rage about things that we're not going to do, that we don't mean, but
it was dumb.
The context, the timing, everything completely stupid.
Facts.
Yeah. I just, okay. I know where you are and I know who you are as a man, and I don't know who Rashad Weaver is.
Right.
I know that that statement's indefensible in any way, shape, or form.
Facts.
Now.
We just needed to get you one exit further down the highway.
Yeah, that's all. We got there. We're at the Love's Travel Stop.
And in no way whatsoever do I condone
of course
anything
not.
Up there.
Of course not.
Continue on.
All right, so I wanted to mention real quickly, because I mean, Buck kind of addressed this a little bit yesterday. The deal about the scouts. My point, and I don't know that I actually went into enough detail about this, but my thought was just this. Scouts don't have to be honest, and oftentimes are not, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know this. We just went through the season of lies. We talked about it all the time. If a scout, okay, so let's say you reach out to a scout, okay?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, did you know about this? And the scout says, oh, of course I knew about it. I just want to look at it from a human nature standpoint. This was it for me. This was the whole crux of this. It was a thought experiment, a hypothetical. If I'm a scout and I work for a team that didn't draft Rashad Weaver, okay, mm-hmm. that has no skin in this game, my pride, my ego are going to say, of course I knew about it, because you can't prove I didn't, and it makes me look smarter. It's not dragging the Tennessee Titans. It's mm-hmm. not dragging anybody else. It's putting me on a pedestal.
Yeah.
So those there were people after the fact that said, well, why would a scout say something that wasn't true? And my reaction to it was, well, because we're all flawed humans that want to be seen as bigger than we are.
Facts.
Why would a scout not just say, well, of course I knew about it, because the timeline fit for me to say that. You can't ever prove that I did not know it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no evidence that can prove that I knew it in advance or didn't know it in advance, but it makes me look like I'm the smartest dude in the room, won first prize in the beauty contest because I knew it. Even if a bunch of other people didn't know it, we knew it. Yeah. Why would you say, well, of course I didn't know it? Some would, but there are, you know, there are disingenuous folks out there.
We know that.
And the business is all about self-promotion and publicity. It's all about building up your name. Mm-hmm. We work in an industry that's all about that. All of us have egos. All of us have rabbit ears. All of us see stuff. All of us react to stuff. But the point was merely that, is it possible that a scout might just be saying something because it makes him look smarter than a bunch of other people who did not know? That was the entire question.
Yeah, it was. And to that understanding is always, look, the same way we deal with any kind of breaking news that hits, you got to wait till all the facts come out. And it's going to be settled in front of everybody to know, and the Titans are the ones that got to deal with this situation moving forward. He's somebody else's issue right now, and that somebody else is the Tennessee Titans. So, but to the scouts thing is,
I mean, you know a lot of scouts, Moan. You've talked to a whole lot of scouts. You know that industry is
particularly that area too. So, I don't know. It's weird. Like I said, and diving into it. People inside the building, outside of the building, direct conversations was like legitimately everybody knew when everybody found out. But I've been wrong before.
Everything here is based on
now
the
I've
fact
gotten
that
wrong information.
We
before,
are so. Not those individuals, so we don't know for sure. We have no idea.
No. Sucks
eventually,
for this kid.
Eventually, it's all going to shake out. Like, we're never going to find out what anybody knew and when they knew it. Like, in terms of anything more than we already know, we're never going to hear. We're never going to know. So you're just going to have to believe what you want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're eventually, hopefully, going to find out what actually happened in this situation and then be able to address it from there.
And if he's guilty, guess what? Drop the hammer. As far as the putting hands on a female type of thing. Vrabel don't need that. He don't need that. I'm a firm believer in second chances and understanding the full situation that's in front of us, but not in this day and era, man, especially if it's on camera. We've seen this happen multiple times too, but it's also If something just was spewed out there to create a narrative, then that sucks also. I've seen guys been torn down and ripped apart, ripped to shreds in public display because, fake news, as far as what was reported. And I'm talking about police report. I'm talking about any type of report, It's just, it's bad.
Like I said, at this point, I think the only thing to say is, look, it's just really bad luck for the Tennessee Titans at best. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know what it is past that. Maybe eventually we'll know more about the situation. I continue to pray it's not true. Because yeah. I don't want to believe that a woman was hit in this situation. I don't want to believe that that quote was ever said.
For all parties involved, too.
None of it is good. We'll bring in the Queen, Teresa Walker, the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts as a journalist on this. And we'll, of course, talk about the Titans draft and the Preds losing last night, but still an awfully good shot to make the postseason based on what happens this weekend. That's next. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Fourth hour rolling right along. Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We're also powered by you. We're powered by the fam. The show continuing to grow. If you're hanging out with us on Twitch, a lot of you are this morning. We appreciate that. If you're with us on YouTube, 104.5 The Zone TV. Throughout those platforms, also Periscope.
Like to make an announcement as well, Jason?
Yeah, yeah.
Arthur Smith will join Buck Rising at 11:20.
Nice.
Nice.
That'll be a good conversation. Speaking of Titans and or former Titans, we'll have a current Titan, Dylan Radins. Newest offensive lineman will join us tomorrow on the show.
That's awesome right there.
We'll also be able to get a little bit of intel on Trey Lance from him.
Yeah, we will. Might as well ask about
sideline right? question. Be like, so what are we getting here? What's actually going to happen here?
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting conversation. He's blocked for a top five quarterback. That's pretty cool, man, from a small school. I was listening to a conversation about that. I think, what is they, FCS school?
Mm-hmm.
It's two drafted, according to the conversation I had, and it was one Division III in this entire draft. So that either says a whole lot about.
Is that Wisconsin Whitewater?
Yeah, Wisconsin Whitewater. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New Denver Bronco.
Yeah, it says a whole lot about their talent, I guess, to make it out of a FCS school. And also says about the kid that went to Denver, the offensive
lineman.
Yeah,
that's Miners. Yeah, Miners. Yeah, that's yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's bring in Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Teresa, how are you?
I am good this morning. How are you all?
We're doing pretty well. We'll talk Titans in a second, but last night, Predators lose. We can lead off with that. It's tied up. They blew a couple of one-goal leads, but they're still in a pretty good spot based on what could happen Friday and certainly what could happen for them over the weekend. How do you assess where they stand right now?
Well, they're definitely in better position than they were at the end of February and in the first part of March when, guys, I had them so done as toast. I did some preparedness on John Hines being fired because it did look that bad at that point, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're on this precipice is a good thing. But, looking ahead to this two-game series for the Preds to wrap up the regular season against Carolina, who right now is their likely playoff opponent, the gap is far and wide and deep, and John Hines was talking last night about how they needed to raise their level of play another notch. They're going to have to get a couple notches better going into the postseason. So, but to be this close is a good thing. I mean, they could clinch if Tampa Bay takes care of things tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Friday. then they're in, which I have them completely written off as possibly being a lottery team. So I give huge props to them getting things turned around. But, the gap between them and the top of this division is still pretty deep.
Well, at least we're still talking. Like, the fact that they've become relevant now is kind of surprising to me. I think it's surprising to a lot of us, certainly surprising to you as well. So we'll see what happens this weekend. You being a journalist that's, an award-winning journalist and somebody that has done this for a long time, what's your reaction to the Rashad Weaver situation and the way that it has played out thus far?
Well, the thing that is surprising is after the whole Isaiah Wilson situation last year, your first round pick, you end up suspending him, putting him on, trading him away after one season, thought that the Titans would be checking, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, doing, turning every possible rock over to make sure about who they take this year. Now, this is a fourth round pick, their second pick in the fourth round. So certainly not the stakes on the line as a first rounder, But, you know, the fact that, you know, this comes out on Monday and the Titans say, we're learning about this, it's for one thing, it's just not a good look. Now, his attorney has said, you know, that it didn't happen, that this is not, you know, that there's not anything to this. And the complaint that was filed is a misdemeanor charge. So, you know, it does sound egregious when you read the reports and, you know, she's accusing him of hitting her, shoving her, all these things. And you know, and then it comes out that she's pregnant. I'll just say this. It doesn't look good for them. Now, the journalist in me is like, I want to know more. You know, there were police that were there and talked to them. And, yes, the line about, you know, that, you know, apparently you can hit a woman, apparently, on some occasions, which news to me and most women in this world, we don't like being hit. But there's just a lot left to be learned here. You know, she has one witness on her side, but there were police at the moment, and they didn't take anyone into custody. There were no charges filed at that moment. So, yeah, that slow drip, drip, I just want to know a whole lot more than we know at this moment.
Yeah, hearing just all of that, it's a lot to break down. And again, we're talking about a fourth-round pick. And you mentioned something, too. You said it's not like it's a first rounder, whereas the stakes are super high and the investment of getting a first rounder. If you could just elaborate on what's your process of knowing what that is about, in a sense of, if you're drafting the first rounder with these type of issues versus a fourth rounder, do you think the detail is deeper with them or what when you're looking for this type of stuff?
Well, Ramon, that's the thing. In a first rounder, you know, there's 32 guys that ever get taken in the first round. So, you know, it's easy. It's a smaller pool, and the light should be bigger on that. You know, once you get to that third day, you know, yeah, you've done your diligence. You've got your scouts who should be checking in and doing the due diligence. But, you know, the target field is a lot bigger. You know, when they were going on to the clock, it's like, okay, are they going to get another receiver here? Is it a tight end? And they end up getting an edge rusher, which they absolutely needed. But, you know, how many people, if you're drawing up a bracket and a draft model, I didn't see Rashad Weaver's mock to the Titans at all. If anyone did have it out there, sorry, I missed it. But, you know, it's, you know, so you've got so many more people to keep up with, you know, so maybe getting into those fine details. You know, was he on their list Saturday morning and that they should have been doing follow-up checks with? So that's another question that I would have for the Titans is, you know, how high was he on your board that you were checking in? And if you were checking in again, how did you miss this? Mm-hmm. Now, the complaint was filed on that Friday morning, a week ago tomorrow, before the second night of the draft. So, did he know that it had even been filed? So, you know, that it makes it – sometimes this stuff can be tough to find out. As easy as it pops up, the Internet makes us think we should know everything at a given moment. Sometimes it's just not that easy.
How do you feel about the wide receiver room for the Titans?
With the signing of this Fred Brown, a little bit better. But, I'm going to need to see some more. Des Fitzpatrick seems like he's got a lot of pieces there. Tough to ignore that 19.4 yard per average per catch last year. That's certainly a speed element that with Khalif Raymond gone, they absolutely needed. And he's got size, which, you know, no offense to Khalif, but I felt like I could look him in the eye sometimes, guys, and I'm really short. So, you know, Des Fitzpatrick means size. He brings some speed. And, you know, this is a group that, you know, as much as the pressure is going to be on the secondary coaches to get all these young kids going, mm-hmm. Well, Rob Moore has got his hands full because, you know, he's got to get this group into position to help out. But, you know, hey, you look at last year, Adam Humphreys only played 19 games over the last 2 years because of injuries. Being available will give Des Fitzpatrick and, shoot, Racy McMath and Josh Reynolds, the big free agent signee in this group, a chance to compete immediately.
Yeah, this is what's interesting about it, though. The Titans took a draft class that I don't think we saw the direction they were going, and I don't think a lot of people saw it, too, although in the first-round draft pick on Caleb Farley, though. Were you excited about it, questioning it, or where are you at with this one?
Hey, I'll say this. I like the idea of Caleb Farley. I didn't pick him for the Titans because I didn't think he'd be there. Yes, he's coming off the second back surgery, microdiscectomy. You know, I'm around old enough, long enough that I remember 1999 when Steve McNair had a microdiscectomy during the season and came back, finished the season, and we all remember 1999, they ended up in the Super Bowl. So, you know, it is possible for a recovery from this surgery. Now, the thing that makes people kind of, and obviously made a lot of teams back off, the fact that it was the second surgery. Well, it wasn't the same disc. It was an adjacent disc that, you know, hindsight, they probably should have fixed it at the very same time, and this wouldn't have been an issue. So, you know, a little bit of a risk for the Titans. Will he be ready to start training camp? As we saw last year, the more playing time, the more practice time rookies get helps them have a better chance to play during the season. And it's a bit of a gamble, like with Jeffrey Simmons. You know, Simmons, they got a guy who would have been a top 10 talent if not for the torn ACL. This is a similar thing. Caleb Farley was expected to be the first cornerback taken, a top 10 pick, and the Titans get him at 22. So maybe do they have to be a little patient? We'll see. But, you know, I think it's a great pick for them because, you know, suddenly that secondary looks so very different than it did even at the start of February.
So just to go down that route with, you know, Steve McNair and him having the same procedure done, was there many issues, any issues after the fact with Steve while he was here in Nashville?
Well, I do know this. He had to do an awful lot of exercises to keep the back loosened.
Right.
Now, you know, this, you know, he was a little bit older when he had the surgery. You know, he had the surgery, you know, he was drafted in 95, so this wasn't, he was, you know, mid-20s or so, but he did have to do stretching and some other exercises to keep the back loose. So, you know, now Farley's a little bit younger, maybe doesn't have to do that after the rehab for the whole procedure is over. We'll see.
Right.
But, you know, hey, anybody knows you have something happen to your body, you're going to have to exercise it, stretch it, or warm it up in some fashion just to be ready to do. Shoot, I have to stretch my feet to walk out the door some days. So, and I'm not an NFL player.
So I've had a similar procedure done, and just the basis of it to not have an issue for it is to work your core, front, your back and front core, and it's all like legs and just strength too. So I got faith in this pick as far as him being able to beat on the field. I've had something similar to injections and all of that type of stuff. So I'm not trying to ease over the minds of Titans fans, but I don't want to say this is almost in the realm of say, hey, well, like ACLs aren't a huge issue now, but he's got to take care of it for sure.
Exactly, and that's what you said. And for cornerback, you know, legs, core, front and back, those are things that he's going to be needing to work on anyway. So, you know, what's the biggest concern about wide receivers and cornerbacks? Hamstrings. So, you know, he's going to be working on those areas to compete in the NFL. And you're right. This is a procedure that in 10 more years, you know, maybe nothing. You know, you just have it and you're back in a certain amount of time and you take and go on. But, you know, this is an area where, you know, this secondary, you know, Mike Vrabel on Friday night had a little bit of a dig. Remember the last group? They had a nickname. They had T-shirts. My man catches no balls. It was a really highly paid secondary. Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro, Adoree Jackson with his fifth-year option being picked up. And yet they just didn't get the pieces they needed out of it. And they changed that room over dramatically. You know, the veteran is now Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins, Kevin Johnson, Christian Fulton is the young guy, Caleb Farley, Elijah Molden, you know, Monty Hooker, I expect to be starting opposite of Kevin Byard at safety. This is a much different room for a defense, guys, that was so criticized this last year, and they took a chance on Farley to help, you know, super juice and get that, you know, kind of speed up the process in that unit with a big talent infusion. So, you know, yes, if it doesn't work, we'll be talking about it, but you got to like the idea that they've got somebody who's going to take them. Might as well be the Titans.
The Queen, Teresa Walker, joining us from the Associated Press here on J. Martin Ramon. Teresa, we know the Titans' schedule is going to be difficult. I mean, it's always difficult in the NFL, but after you win the division, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. A lot of AFC teams in the draft got better. Browns, it seems like most people believe they had a really good draft. The Chargers had a really nice draft. The Ravens addressed their wide receiver issue with two guys, both of whom I think a lot of people liked, I being one of them. How concerned should Titans fans be that even if they managed to kind of tread water and stay in place, that that's not going to be enough, because I'm not so sure anymore that 10 wins is going to be enough to win the AFC, because it's going to be so deep.
Well, probably not in a 17-game season right. that we're going to have this year. The advantage the Titans have this year is that they get that ninth home game. And I saw a breakdown yesterday that had the Titans with the seventh easiest schedule. Before we know the opponents, we just don't know the dates. Seventh easiest schedule for this season. So, now take that with a grain of salt. But, the biggest pieces that they've lost, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, and we're still waiting. John Robinson said he's going to be, he's leaving the door open to some more tweaks to this roster. But, on paper, this defense should. I mean, look, guys, it's going to be really tough for the Titans to be worse on defense than they were last year. So they take a jump up. Why shouldn't they have a chance to win at least 10, 11 games easily?
I mean, that's not incorrect.
No.
I didn't – seventh easiest?
I'm looking at
– crazy, right?
I know. Unless they're foreseeing some stuff that we don't see. I'm looking at these opponents.
I mean, one thing that helps is the division's bad. I mean, the Colts is going to go as Wentz goes, guys. But, I mean, you look at the Texans, the worst run organization in the NFL, and the Jags is going to be something that I think is going to pay dividends, but not immediately. So I guess maybe that helps the schedule, Teresa?
Well, exactly. I mean, you've got four games against Jacksonville and Houston. New Orleans does not have Drew Brees. Yeah. And while Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston may end up being a really good, that's not the Saints that you saw last year. So, everything changes every year, guys. And, I was a little surprised by it too. But again, let's wait and see as things get a little closer, because I'm doing a little Google. I'll see if I can find that breakdown, and if I do, I'll tweet it at you guys. But I was surprised to see it myself. Shoot, they had Houston at 15th best easiest schedule, and it's easy depending on what you have on your roster. I mean, everybody's also picking the Texans to be the worst team in the NFL this year, because nobody expects Deshaun Watson to either be playing for them or to be playing this season. So one or the other. So it's all in how you project things at this point is my guess. I was a little surprised by it, but that's the beauty. That's why we're going to keep talking about sports, right?
Yeah, and you're talking about projecting stuff too. I brought this up in our 6 o'clock hour with Jason. We spoke a little bit about the Grizzlies in Oklahoma City and stuff like that. As far as Ja Morant and what he's doing, at some point, and I know Memphis is a smaller market, mid market, small market, but are we gonna see this thing turn up for the Grizzlies as far as the fanfare, as far as the promotion and growth of this team around a future star like Ja Morant?
I sure hope so. I mean, just watching this kid play, I'm watching the game last night. He's diving on the floor. He's knocking down a key three, scoring 37 points. And he was making it clear like Wednesday night, he sees himself as one of the, top five point guards in the NBA right now in his second season. I will say this, they need to get to the playoffs. Yeah. They need to get to the play-in series, try to get into the first round, beat some teams and get there. They've had some bad mistakes that have cost them. I mean, guys, they could be in the seventh or even pushing the Lakers for the sixth position, and yet they let some games get out of their way. They're still kind of learning and growing, but they've got some young pieces over there. It's just a fun team to watch, and I can't wait till we get to a point where the restrictions are eased. And, he was, begging people to, get into the stadium a week ago when they played Portland to fill all those seats that they could, to give them some hometown feel. And yet there were some Portland Blazers jerseys that got inside the building. So, they're still trying to imprint on people that they're that team now to start looking for. But playoffs, getting into a playoff position, just like it'll help the Predators, the Grizzlies need that themselves, because with all those new faces, they need to show who this group is. Rather, they're the next gen guys. They're not the old core four that they used to have that helped get them to seven playoff experiences. How did those guys get that big reputation in Memphis? Playoff games, playoff series, and victories.
Teresa, it's always a pleasure. We know we can ask you anything, basically about anything else. Hey, I will ask you this on your way out. When you need to shut down your brain and put on a movie, what's one of your favorites?
Ooh, I have so many. I mean, you know, sometimes it's a Roadhouse movie. Sometimes it's Shawshank. Sometimes it's I'm going to go down, you know, the Steel Magnolias road.
Oh, so look at you.
I've got a bunch.
Hey, Olivia Dukakis passed away, and she was in Steel Magnolias.
I know,
Steel
that was
Magnolias. Such a shame. Yeah, well, I mean, eventually. But yeah.
If you've got something bad to say about somebody, come sit by me.
Great stuff, Teresa. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. And I just added you on Twitter with that graphic I mentioned.
Oh, awesome. We will find that because we're going to talk about it after the break. Seventh easiest schedule, huh?
I know.
We're going to try and figure out why. We're going to try and look at it and maybe try to come up with a reason why you might think that when we come back to finish up the program. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. If you missed any part of this show, podcast it. Wherever you get your podcast, 5-star review. We would appreciate that. You can subscribe to all the fine shows on The Zone. Buck Rising will have Arthur Smith in the second hour of his show. You won't want to miss that. 11:20, former Titans OC and the current Falcons head coach will join Buck. We've got Dylan Radins.
Yeah, yeah.
Titans offensive lineman for a week. He'll join us at 8:30 tomorrow on the program. So a lot going on around these parts, including me forgetting things that I tease and then should be doing. Birthdays being those things. Somebody hit me up on Twitch where you can watch 104.5 Zone TV and said, don't forget about birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeeps. I said I had three really big ones. I think these are all you need to hear, okay?
Let's hear it.
George Clooney is 60 today.
Hey.
Man.
Young Jeezy voice. Hey.
Mm.
Yeah.
The man behind one of our favorite gifts, Chris Paul, is 36 today.
Legend. He's only 36. I heard somebody say, man, why did everybody age Chris Paul when he turned 30? Like, he's still relatively
young. Winston-Salem's finest right there.
Hey, shout out to the city, then.
Suns are really good.
And Willie Mays is 90.
Ooh.
Do I need to mention any more, or are those three good enough?
They're good.
Zip it.
Thought so.
Good. Zip it.
That's a strong trio. Let's just say that.
Nice, man. Straight
definitely up. A strong trio.
You know what though? I hate I kind of missed my shot yesterday on Cinco de Mayo, man. I should have worn my sombrero in and everything yesterday, man. I missed that. Name like Ramon.
Well, I missed my shot having multiple Star Wars shirts and wearing one the afternoon of May the 4th and not realizing I should have probably worn one to the building that day.
You stupid idiot.